jumping and caught this high. Your dad is rich and your ma is good looking.
To the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
All righty, good morning. Thank you, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Just looking out over the mountains here in Nepali, and absolutely stunning. And I'm sure all of you saw last night, there was a big celebration. Actually, we've had a celebration for the last couple of days. Lightning, thunder. Don't know what it means, but it sure got my attention. I'm still trying to figure what it's all about, but I enjoyed it and hope everybody's safe and can appreciate it. One day volcanoes, the next day hurricanes, the next day floods, the next day. That guy down in wherever he was from, California, probably really thinks the world has come to an end for Hawaii, but we think it's different. Maybe life just started. So anyway, this morning I was thinking, I don't want to be in a rut and talk about the same subject matter. And then I thought, it's okay to mention the same things, because it's not the act itself or the incident itself that I focus on. It's the complicity, or how complicit people are in government, and how willing they are to limit themselves, or lend themselves, I should say, to corruption. And simply put, corruption. I wish I had a more classical, eloquent term, but folks, within our government here, especially in the local government, you can call it democratic system, you can call it capitalism, you can call it whatever you wish. But we have a bunch of people in, let's start with the city council, that are just absolutely corrupt. They don't care about anything. They've been around too long. You get Nestor's getting the free load of the note-taking. You get, and you just get all of this. And I can go on and on. I talk about Ernie Martin, and he gets voted in. But that's what you voted for. That's what you get. But the corruption, as long as they talk about it, present themselves the way they do, it's simply conflict. And I'm going to lay out something. We talked about the ASR and the discount dumping that was being considered and then rejected and refused, and now it sits on the mayor's desk for approval because they went through the back door. And those out there that are listening, that, you know, Charles DeJew left. And I think on his recommendations, and a lot of you out there in Hawaii, Kai, decided, well, this guy, Stanley Chang, is going to be the guy to come in. But he, too, is hard to read, but I can tell you this. He lends himself to quiet visits from the lobbyists. And when it comes to common sense and the benefit of the people, those things are pushed to the side. And he, like the other older counsel, even Ann Kobayashi, she, too, lends herself to the quiet, stealthy, political craziness that goes on when it really comes down to people. And what we here in this county, let's just take this county, the county of Honolulu. We talk about the dumping, but I'm going to hopefully lay it out, and some of you have probably heard it on the periphery, a cursory discussion of it. But if I were to title this show, I would call it The Big Spenders. And I would call it the party that you threw but you weren't invited to. On and on and on. What if I told you that, you see, the problem with this bill that the mayor is considering right now, there's a problem with it. See, each county has its own landfill. Each county has its own problems with managing solid and hazardous waste or solid waste and what have you. Each county has its budget and has the problem of managing their waste. But why is it that here in Honolulu, we are taking and have been taking the brunt and the responsibility for all of the other counties? You may not be aware of this. So this bill of giving snitches steal a discount or a subsidy or a cheaper break or whatever you call it, in the tune nearly of $2 million. Some $19 million, I'm told, there's an estimate that they've benefited from the actual dumping of the ASR. So here's where you come in. Or maybe here's where you didn't know you were coming in. Maui has cars. Maui has refrigerators. Maui has appliances. Maui cars and appliances, a great bulk of them, and we'll just talk about what percentage, are shipped here to Honolulu. Now, Molokai, it falls in Maui County. They, too, have a landfill. They, too, have solid and hazardous waste issues and cars. What happened to their foam and their fluff in those cars? Well, just so happened, those cars find their way to Honolulu. And Big Island. Now, some of this goes to China directly. They're boxed up or compacted and bundled up and shipped straight to China. But we're talking about that percentage that finds its way to Honolulu and processed by Snitch's Steel. See, this is an element, a factor that our council members, they've heard it before, but they were so good at giving that they weren't caring about common sense. They weren't caring about you, the taxpayer, or you, the city person who's funding this craziness. You take Kauai, for example. Kauai has large volumes of white goods, appliances, refrigerators, stoves, and what have you. That's what white goods are. And their white goods and cars are compacted or smashed and shipped here to Snitzer and ground up. Where does that waste go? Why isn't it that our council members turn and say to each county, find your own place to bury your own ASR, and you're welcome to send the cars here, but we're, instead of taxing the taxpayer in Honolulu and the citizens here in Honolulu, we're going to say that if you bring a car here, there's a surcharge. You talk about fees. So why isn't it that the city council did not look into this or incorporate this. Instead, they're going to give a reduced fee to Snitzer. While all along, now Snitzer recently purchased a company, SOS Steel, in Maui. That means all the cars that come to SOS and any other person that wants to ship here comes here, they crush them, they grind them, chip them up, and what happens to that waste? So why isn't it that either, I mean, this is a nonsensical suggestion, but why not ship the ASR back? Because you and I know that one of the greatest problems we have here in this county, Honolulu, is finding a place for a landfill. We do not have adequate space. And you don't hear any talk about, let's find a landfill or designation of a site here recently, and this one is slated to close in Waimanalo Gulch. Why is it that the people on the west coast of Waianae, not in my backyard, we don't want to discuss that, why are the people in Waianae having to receive garbage in the form of foam, rubber, plastic, glass, and all of that from Maui, Molokai, Kauai, and the Big Island? And what about the federal properties? Why is it that the taxpayer is paying to have recycled ASR from the refrigerators that comes out of the Navy Exchange? Why is it that the city council found it necessary to say no in one bill and turn around in the form of Stanley Chang or whomever and come up with this second bill in talking about reducing it or a deductible and diminishing it over the couple of years? Why is it that you and I, the taxpayer here in Honolulu, have to pay for that? And you didn't see any mention of it other than one person of one other party. But why didn't they grasp that and start to incorporate that in the actual decision making? So I think it's time now for Mayor Carlisle to listen up and say, enough already. This is where we put the cattle back into the pasture. Somehow they've gotten loose and no containment, no control. And we're handing money over, hand over fist to these people being anyone getting a break, should be asked, you need to pay a surcharge. What percentage of your waste that you're dumping here comes from the outer islands? Why should the Honolulu taxpayer foot the bill for Maui, Molokai, Kauai, Big Island, Johnson Atoll, you know, all of these places? So, Palmyra Island, anyone that ships these things that have refrigerators and what have you, it all comes here. Not all of it, but the portion that do, we need to address that. So, again, I apologize for talking about the same subject matter, but I don't think they got the point, and so I want to be like the rabid dog and just bite onto the ankle until they either shake me off, because you and I can't afford it. We don't know where these fees are going. We don't know why we are footing the bill for others, and then our city council is handing Snitzer Steel and others discount and basically handing them a check, a blank check, because we don't know if they got £1 million, they could bring it in if they got 10 pounds. So I've again asked Mr. Jim Bannigan, the former general manager there at Snitzer, and to join me, because I don't believe that we have had a decent answer from our council. I don't believe that we've had a decent response from even Snitzer. And while other businesses are saying they would not accept it and don't need it, something needs to give here. So before that, so that you'll know, Mr. Bannigan wears the title of former general manager, but I've known Mr. Bannigan, Jim Bannigan, for many years now. And I have to share with you that all that you have seen, you know, when we talk about companies in the community and companies say they give and what have you, well, the Hawaii Metal Recycling Company, When I first started this, and I just lay out a little bit, so this isn't trying to sell Bannigan or anything. This is, I want to give you some background. There are good people amongst us, and there are people who just figure, well, you've elected me in office, and it's my show, our show. I come in and horse trade or whatever. But Jim Bannigan, when I first started this entire effort, because I was saddened to see cars, trucks in every ravine dumped along the roadway. The Honolulu Police Department would approach me sometimes, some of the officers, and say, "We, you know, there's just nothing we can do because we got to find out who the owner is, and if we clean it up today, tomorrow, it's," and there was no effort on the part of the state. They would go, the county would go and write on the window that it was abandoned, and it may sit there for the next 3, 4, 5 months. There would be asbestos. There would be oil, chemicals, you name it. And I would approach the state health department, and they'd look at me like I had a stick stuck in my forehead. But I was able to approach Mr. Bannigan, so that you, some have credited me with finding all of these things, but I got to tell you, it was through Jim Bannigan, who was a company man, who actually lit the fire under my feet to encourage me to combat and assisted me in fighting the illegal dumping. All those stories that you see on TV and that you saw in the newspapers over the years, he has had a major role in it, because while I could go and find it, you could call me up as a citizen and show it to me. What was I going to do? So through that, through Jim Bannigan and this team of people that were working with DBED at the time, and the General Contractors Association, they chimed in and offered a hand. And it was through them. When you saw TV and they were lifting up 500 tires or 25 cars or a bus out of the ravine and all of that, I didn't give them a single nickel. Now, you might say, well, they got paid for the metal. Yeah, but they could have also just waited until it came in. They would have gotten the same amount of money. So I just lay that out, and there's many, many stories, and I don't want to embarrass Jim, but there are people amongst us that care. They can be company men as well, and I've never had him or to ask me to do anything unethical. And just to give you another, and then I'll bring him on. HMR had fire on occasion, and fires they start, whoever knows, however knows. Let me just tell you how it works with Jim Bannigan. Now, you know who I am. I'll tell on my grandmother if I had to, in order to protect the public and the environment, because that's what my grandmother would want me to do, and that's what she taught me to do. Nobody's above the law. Do good things. Who do you know amongst us would have a problem, have a fire in the yard, and then call the environmentalists and say, "You're welcome to go there, take pictures, do whatever, contact the media, share it with them"? Who would do that? That's the transparency that you never knew and never knew about. When we had munitions stored in the landfill on Molokai, who better yet would give me that information and confirm? I mean, I would hear rumors, and I was able to call him, and I would get an immediate, or he would initiate, or some of his people would initiate a call to me, EnviroWatch. So I'm just laying that out for you to tell you, amongst us, sometimes big companies are just that, but there are little people with big hearts in them. So anyway, don't know what that was going to do for you, but it's about time that I publicly acknowledge Jim Bannigan and the others. There is Lawrence Khalili Connie and Mike Leary, and there's Refrigerant Recycling, and all of those people who got together, Grace Pacific even, offered help in the beginning, and also now occasionally. So I want to say that's a little bit of what has been going on, and they are the people, businesses now, were the ones behind the actual effort to bring awareness to illegal dumping. Through all of the islands, PVT Land Company, they would point out things, illegal activities. So amongst us, there are companies that do care. And again, so that's that. And again, thank you for listening to me a that bit. But Jim Bannigan, thank you for joining me this morning. And don't, I won't charge you for that presentation. But I owe you still.
Well, thank you, Carol. It's very kind of you to say that.
Yeah. Well, again, as I call you and ask you, basically beg you to come in, because this is a, and I want to talk and share with the listeners out there about this subject. You heard me earlier talking about percentages and coming trash coming from the outer islands and what have you. And you have actually given testimony days gone back on this, as far back as 2004 on this subject. So if you could give me a little background once again, and hopefully our legislators and our city council and our mayor might be listening, or one of his assistants may be listening, and get the word back to him.
Well, I'd be glad to. Just to give you a little background, what ASR is, automobile shredded residue, that's the acronym, that's what it means. And what that is the non-metallic fraction of a shredding process. The company has a 4,000 horsepower shredder in its property in Kapolei.
Mm-hmm.
And in the shredding process, there's a waste fraction that's generated. And that's the non-metallic, again, fraction, which is the fabric, the fiber, the foam rubber, the glass, anything that's non-metallic in an automobile or in a refrigerator or appliance, any plastic or anything like that. And through the shredding process, it gets separated out in the ferrous metal, in the non-ferrous metal, in the waste fraction, are the three fractions. The waste fraction ends up in the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Currently ends up in a landfill. Scrap metal is picked up and received from all islands, and it is shredded at the shredder.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the waste fraction from outer island scrap metal ends up in our landfill over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you asked me about when you called me the other day. I gave testimony back in February of 2004. It's public information.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone can go on the website, on the city and county's website, and pick it up. But back then, my testimony basically stated that on average, 11.23 of HMR's total waste tipped into Wamanella Gulch was waste generated from recycling neighbor island scrap metal from the years 2001 and 2003.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just looking back here, thinking about when I first met you, how I, the Waipahu incinerator, all the 300 plus 500 tons of white goods and other parts dumped and buried at the incinerator.
Oh, that was an interesting, yeah.
And someone mentioned that the person you want to talk to is Lawrence Galili Cunny and Jim Bannigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, these guys are company men. How can I approach them on this thing? There's no way, you know. Well, I found my way over there to your place, and I'm still recovering from the surprise and that how you said, of course, here are our records. This is what transpired. And that set the stage for all the illegal dumpings, because without that, the city wasn't disclosing anything under Mayor Harris. And again, you handed me the file and says, this is what the situation is. This is the problem. And each time I deal with you, I always think about that. You know, some might say, well, you're not an honest man. Well, I can tell you what you did was you set the record straight with that one. And I think I'm going to use you again this time, hopefully, to set the record straight. And the taxpayer would appreciate. I guarantee when you finish, and if the mayor does what's right and the city council reconsider this, we'll all owe some thank yous to you.
Well, I don't know if it's owing it to me, but it's just what's the right thing to do, you
mm-hmm.
know. And we'll get to that in a second. But
mm-hmm.
if I could make a comment about Mr. Kalili Kani, he was at the time when I was running the company, he was my buyer. He
mm-hmm.
bought scrap metal. He did a tremendous job for us. Our tonnages at the time increased from about 30,000 tons from the first year I got here in 1992. In the second year, we put the shredder in, And our tonnages, I promoted him to our buyer, and our tonnages tripled.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, quadrupled, went to 120,000 tons the next year. So he's a tremendous buyer. He did tremendous things, and he's a very, very good buyer.
And a great bit of this came out of canyons and rivers and abandoned lots, and that's what I still look at today. And I was going through a bunch of pictures that I'm actually posting up on carolcox.com. So that the public can see what it looks like throughout the state, and then, but the problem is, all of that and those white goods and cars find their way here. Not all, I shouldn't misspeak, a large percentage. And speaking of that, let's take each island. If you can recall, what approximate percentage comes from the island of Kauai in white goods and cars over the years?
Well, as my testimony in 2004 stated, it's an aggregate amount, and I'm a little reluctant to give actual percentages for two reasons. Number one, I don't really remember exactly what percentages from each island come, and secondly, in my agreement, in my severance agreement with the company, I have to be careful about what I reveal. So I'm legally bound to keep my mouth shut, so to speak.
Yeah. But
if I could get back to, if you have a minute first met, how that whole Waipahu incinerator started was, we were in negotiations with the city to increase the tip fee. This was in 2001, I believe, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From 50% to 80%, which is, you know, the genesis for what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my tactics was I went to the city and told the city that we normally pay for scrap metal to be delivered to the facility. I told the city that if they increased the tip fee, it would negatively impact our bottom line. So I would have to start redeveloping or re-engineering our whole buying program and probably have to start charging for scrap metal.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, in other words, I would charge a tip fee to take scrap metal as opposed to paying for it. And I said to the city that your account will be the first account that we start this at. And at the time, the tip fee into the landfill was $36 a ton many years ago. It doesn't seem that long, though. I recall having several conversations with the recycling coordinator at the time about they couldn't absorb the impact that wasn't in their budget, and my counter was that it wasn't in my budget either, and that I couldn't, I really, really couldn't afford to have our tip fee go up from, at the time, 15% of our operating income to over 50% of our operating income just to get rid of the waste fraction. So, as a result of my telling the city that I would have to start charging them, I remember a conversation I had, but I'm not going to mention names, but someone called me from the city and said, well, what am I going to do with the appliances and the white goods that we get if we can't send them to you because we're going to have to pay for them and we need to get approvals to do that? And I recommended that they put them at the Waipahu incinerator site, just leave them on the ground until we settle this issue.
Right.
And I said we would come down with our equipment and load the material and take it to our facility once we got this issue settled. And a couple of months later, they were suddenly gone. And we were having meetings with different recyclers about how we structure the increase in the tip fee and what impacts it would have. And during those meetings that we had downtown at Honolulu Holly, it came out at one of the meetings that the material had suddenly, they had taken it to the landfill and disposed of it at Waimanalo Gulch, which was
not legal either.
At the time you couldn't dump metal in the gulch, but I guess because the city owns it, they could do what they wanted to do. And so that's what we thought happened to 300 tons of appliances and white goods until you came on the scene.
Asking questions.
And
saying,
I'm like,
look, Mr. Bannigan, listen, this is who I am, and there is, someone has told me that they buried now, not didn't just place them there and cover them with dirt. And I went out, I'd say about 2:30 in the morning, with my metal detector, and just one of the guys said they have white goods. At that time, I wasn't, what do you mean white goods? I was looking at propane tanks. They had about 6,000 propane tanks that they were going to bury over there as well. And the gentleman, the worker, said, no, white goods, they smashed them, crushed them, and buried them. So I still had no proof, but then someone told me to go see you.
Mm.
And that you and Lawrence had photographed them and was in negotiation with the mayor and the city. And I asked you, if you recall, I asked you for pictures to prove it, and that's how we got the jump on this thing, because other than that, I couldn't get the state to go and dig, because, you know, they just don't go and try to get lucky in digging. So it was through that we got it. But speaking of the islands, I said, I call around and ask different people, and I'm told that approximately 10 to 15% or slightly higher of the ASR that goes into the landfill can be attributed to outer islands. And I don't know if you can comment on that, but this is what I've been through interviews and through different people. So, and I'm going to follow up with an article in more or greater details, because I've sent out requests for questions and what have you, and information on this from the city. If we have 100,000 tons, let's say, go over there, 15% of that ASR, if that is the case, would represent outer islands. How much is that?
That'd be 50,000 tons if you had 100,000 tons. But you have to take into account that the amount of scrap metal that at the time when I was running the company, and the amount of scrap metal that we purchased consisted of two types of material. Material that could be shredded,
mm-hmm.
okay, and material that could not go through the shredder,
right.
What we called HMS, unprepared number one steel.
Right.
Okay, so the split between the two, if it was 100,000 tons or 120,000 tons a year, and I'm going to just pick a number, say it was 50-50 split, that, so your fraction would be 50,000 on 100,000 or 60,000 on 120,000 tons. So it would be a percentage, a 10% of 60,000 tons or 50,000 tons,
mm-hmm.
not of 100,000 tons.
Right.
Which I find also is a fallacy in the way the discount is applied, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
As my testimony said in 2004, over a three-year period from 2001 to 2003, almost 7,000 tons of ASR, fabric, fiber, foam, glass,
mm-hmm.
non-metallic fractions from the shredding process, was dumped at Wamanala Gulch, which at the time when I ran the company, because we got the discount, was a great thing.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing. I mean, it goes right to your bottom line. Now that I'm not there, and, you know, when you have life-altering
mm-hmm.
Events in your life and you begin to look at things, well, maybe that's not the right thing.
Right.
That should happen, you know. But certainly now, to give a discount, when we're having so many problems at Wamanala Gulch, to be given a discount to any company,
mm-hmm.
and there are other companies that ship in Wamanala Gulch that take waste from outer islands,
right.
I mean, that take metallics from outer islands,
mm-hmm.
but to give any company a discount to fill up our landfill when the material generates from an outer island is absurd.
Right.
It's insane.
So again, I go back to how the taxpayer here in Honolulu is being just taken for a ride. And that is, let's just say if it's 7,000 tons, and it's at $95 a ton, that's what the city, just picking a number, roughly, $95 a ton that the city charges for dumping each ton of trash in the landfill. So 7,000 times $95 that we should be charging Kauai, Maui, Big Island for that dumping. Or tell them, dump in your own backyard.
Exactly. I mean that's the point.
And I don't mean to be mean-spirited. A lot of people just haven't connected the dots. But the taxpayer here in Honolulu, if you can just pick this number, any number, and call the city, and don't trust what I say, because I haven't got the numbers, and they're still getting back information. But it's $95 a ton. times whatever the amount. If they say it's 20,000 ton a year that ASR that comes from the outer islands goes in there, we should be charging and not giving it away. And then Schnitzer benefits from that as well, because they should have a process where they strip the cars there in Maui. They threaten to end Aloha Aina or somewhere down the road. They talked about doing away with that project, or a lot of the stuff would be in the landfill. If and on the roads, if we don't accept cars with foam in them. Well, I wonder what kind of conversation is going on Maui. If Maui and the Big Island mayors and all learn that the people here in Honolulu won't allow any more cars to come in with ASR, with foam, plastic, glass, rubber, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then tell them, you're welcome to send the metal here, and the Schnitzer, you're welcome to continue to function, but you can't bring in the plastics and rubbers and the 7,000 ton of the 20, whatever the number is, and bury it in our landfill for a discount for free. In fact, for Maui, it's for free. Because right. What a nice way to just take a car, not having to shoulder the responsibility, and not have to find, just leave it to Honolulu, they'll figure it out, and then send their cars over here. Boy, what a luxury.
Yeah, I wish I was in there.
So, you know, in the next meeting, I'm hoping that our mayor, Mayor Carlisle here, hearing this, and Mr. Chang and the city council, incorporate this one little element in their mind, in their thinking. Why are we receiving their trash and then burying it for free in a landfill that's already cramped for space and threatened to close? Why?
Yeah, during this whole process that's gone on for the past couple of months regarding Bill 47 and 36 and 37, I know that it's been several people testifying to that. And what's, I think, disappointing in the whole thing is that the fact that, we take time to go out and testify. And it seems like it falls on deaf ears, and that's a problem. That's why people get discouraged, I think, because nothing's ever done. I think a deal is made ahead of time, and then for whatever reason, testimony is just the window dressing, you know, and then they go and make their own minds up.
And they're making more money now. In those days, they had. I could see a reasonable explanation to give a discount. 1992, $110 or a ton.
Exactly.
And for this year, just fiscal year, we're getting $359 a ton. That's an estimate, approximate estimate. It might be a little higher. It depends.
What that is the average selling price for scrap metal. And it's jumped from, as you said, in 1992, $110 a ton, up to actually now it was $424 a ton and through the second quarter of this year, so and that's a fiscal year, by the way. As you can see, the back in the early days, in 2001, the price dropped to $291 a ton, and that's where the pressure came.
Right,
the margins began to shrink. The company began to lose money, and with the tip fee at the time, Mayor Harris decided he was going to move the tip fee up from, I forgot, I think it's $76 a ton up to almost $100 a ton, and that was a time when I mobilized and said, well, we can't afford to have this happen. And don't get me wrong, in times of stress, when companies need a helping hand, it's always good to have government help, especially in the recycling side. I think you'd agree with that. However, when times get better, as they are now, we saw in 2007, early part of 2008, unprecedented levels, selling price levels for scrap metal. I've been in the business almost 30 years. I've never seen the prices that happened back then. You were talking about $700 to $800 a ton. Now we're almost halfway there. So the industry has obviously clearly gotten healthier. Okay. What frustrates me is the fact that that there isn't any language in any of these bills that require a company or an entity or anybody else to provide proof that
They need it.
That assistance is needed. It's just it's not quite a handout. What it is, it's a discount on the tip fee. So if for instance the tip fee is $100 a ton and you get an 80% discount, which is where it was before Bill 47 was passed, you're only paying $20 a ton.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the other businesses on Oahu who don't have the luxury of calling themselves recyclers and meeting the criteria pay $100 a ton. Or the other, so there's a disparity there between, you know, what a recycler pays and what other businesses pay.
There are two things that come to mind. Well, our council needs to show some critical thinking or be a little more sophisticated. Give Schnitzer and others a discount.
I would say give them 100% discount,
right.
But
justify.
Got it.
And if you are still want to be generous in the form of a city council or a mayor, then say to them, instead of us receiving the trash from Maui and Big Island for free, and then waiving your fee or giving you a reduced fee, we'll give you a reduced fee if you aggressively go out in the canyons and hit up the abandoned lots and take all of those cars. And our councilmen and councilwomen should, in fact, be sophisticated in their thinking and apply that and encourage to use that incentive to clean up our canyons and our streams and our open lands and what have you.
When you came to me first, knocked on my door, I realized then that you know, if there's a way to promote the good things that a company does, not only Hawaii Metal Recycling at the time, but you know, Island Demo, and other businesses on the island, it would be to respond to what you saw as a blight on the environment, and that's why I was so willing to, you know, commit resources to help you, you know, clean up these areas. I remember we did clean up on, it was a beach in Kapolei somewhere.
You did the beach, and you took maybe 500 tires that someone had dumped for right there at the lighthouse.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
And then other tons of trash in that same area on another occasion.
Right.
Then you took right there in Siri land, right there in by Chevron and that area there.
Right.
Kalailoa. What is the anyway? You know, the amount of trash that you took off the beach there. There was a state representative from Kapolei area. Can't think. Of, he's now the head of the cemeteries or for the state veterans of.
Oh, at the time?
Yeah, but anyway,
I
always look back at these politicians that came, and I look back at organizations that, you know, when they talk about the Aloha Aina, I remember when you, HMR, Mike Leary of Island Demolition, Refrigerant Recycling, and the other companies, that the battery company that got together
Interstate got together later,
but... how that you are the, I mean, I didn't have the resources. Aloha Aina. That is when we were out in Punalu'u where you took out
the bus.
Two or three buses and then about 50, 60 cars that were laying out there. And some said, oh, yeah, we probably got paid for that. No, you didn't get paid. You just took the metal, then gave back a check to that community group or whatever.
We paid for the scrap, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly, in doing community work efforts, you know, the cost versus the, you know, back then, the cost versus the profit that you made was upside down. Mm-hmm. It was the other. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you do things like that in times of, when, especially with you, when you came and knocked and said, I need help, I was glad to help, you know.
And I mean, you know what's funny, and I got to admit to the public out there, I don't own a front end loader. I don't own a flat boy. I don't have a CDL or anything. But it was just that my simple going and finding it, or a citizen would call and say, you should look at this spot. And I would call the state, and the state would say, so, nothing we can do. So then I would call you and go, once again, with my hat in hand, rubbing the band, headband thin, you know, can you help me? And, well, what do you need? well, okay, I don't know what I need, and you would send someone out and look at it. And I mean, it's simply amazing. Even on private property, right there at leaving Wahiwa there, there's several cars down in the canyon and dumped in that area. It's going to Haleiwa side there. How many hours and man hours and days it would take to stage that to get there? Haula. You went out there. How many cars did you pull out of Howbush? You know. So if the city council really want to give discounts, that's what they should say to Snitzer. How about continuing on the path that Jim Bannigan left or laid out, and we'll give you a discount. In fact, we will pay you. We'll give you the discount and then compensate you to make our lands better, because they got money for environmental concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that. Instead, we'll give you a break, and you, with no controls, Snitzer or whomever, you're welcome to bring in all of the dump, the trash, and the pilikia from other counties, and just dump it in the hole at no cost, and we'll give you a discount.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, that is absolutely insane.
You know, I don't know what they're not here to defend themselves, and I don't think there's a position to defend. I just think sometimes, as I say, we need to look at this thing and figure out. We, the people of Honolulu, should not be paying for Maui, not be paying for Molokai, Kauai. They have budgets. They have taxpayers. They should be stripping and requiring that no car that comes into this county from any other county have foam, rubber, plastic, or glass.
I can probably, if you just do the math now, this was my testimony back in 2004. I mean, that was, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed since then? The ownership of Hawaii Metal was changed. The company bought, as you alluded to earlier, the company bought a company on Maui. They have a presence on Maui. So that number has probably gone up.
Right.
I would imagine it's gone up because you've got a single source now controlling what goes on in Maui, and I can only surmise that if Maui's not the only county, that expansion plans are probably designed for. There's probably other expansion plans in the works to move to Kauai or to move to the Big Island also. So eventually that number is going to increase. You're going to have more waste from outer islands going into our local landfill. And, you know, the landfill as it is stressed right now. So I don't know how that the city council can allow that to happen.
Well, for listeners out there, if you want to participate, I'm going to be here for another hour, and I don't know if Mr. Bannigan is going to hang how long, but 524-1080. And I'd like to hear from you out there. What do you think about this? Am I off my rockers here with off base with this by suggesting that the city and county of Honolulu should not be receiving trash from Maui, Molokai, Big Island, Kauai, and other sources, coming here and dumping it for free? Now, mind you, it is, I got to be careful when I say dumping it for free, because they're not part of this, but they, I can assure you, if they had to worry about where to dump their ASR, the plastics and glasses, we hear from them. And right now they have a great luxury, and via Snitzer or any other recycler who ships here to Honolulu their cars and their refrigerators and their washers and dryers. Washers and dryers have rubber hoses. Where does that rubber go?
Plastic,
foam.
What I found interesting is that Island Recycling's owner, James Nutter, testified. Mm-hmm. Now he's a beneficiary of the discount.
Right.
He testified. He gets a paper published, $70,000
right.
a year, I think, in discounts. He actually testified and said that he didn't need the discount. I know he's located on Maui. I mean, on the Big Island. Excuse me. And he brings in, I don't know, if I think it's shipped direct. I think his process is a little bit different, where
mm-hmm.
he bails cars and sends the non-metallics off the island,
right.
as other companies do. There's Baron Metals is one that also does it. So there are local companies that don't do the same thing that a shredding company does,
mm-hmm.
that bail the car and take all the non-metallics and ship them out of state, and they go to the Far East or to mostly to the Far East, Vietnam. And
I like I say, I'd list this show, if I were to title shows, big spenders, big-hearted people. We are, you know, you got the friendly aisle. Here, Honolulu is the Oahu is the big-hearted aisle. You know, bring in all your trash, and this is our council members. Yeah, bring it on in. Nobody cares. We got room in the landfill for you. But isn't the landfill supposed to close here soon? And we're cramped for space. And here you're giving away, allowing other counties to dump here. And they got, by the way, they got landfills over there.
Yes.
Big Island has an elaborate system, a landfill. Why are they bringing their trash here and dumping it? I don't want to start a squabble amongst counties, but when we are having to reach in our pocket and pay and then giving it, something don't make sense here.
And then when you have the catastrophe that we had in January, was it? When the rain came and did what it did to washing some of the medical debris. I saw you on the on the news reporting that. So, I mean, those are the issues that you face, you know, and you really don't, you know. Outer Island Waste should stay in Outer Islands. It should not come here, and certainly it should not come here at a discount, if anything, but it should never, ever come here as a discount.
Well, I hope you can hang around for a couple more minutes in the next hour, and I want you to join me if you can, 524-1080 when we come back. I'd like to hear from you if you think it's okay, or if you don't think it's okay, or if you want to call the mayor and remind him that we should be accepting trash. But we'll be back shortly, and catch you in the next hour.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM.
Winner!
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, 524-1080. I'm sitting here talking with Mr. Jim Bannigan, and we are talking about ASR and discount fees and the city council and, my goodness, every little thing. But I do want to, you know, I'm always whipping up and beating up on folks, but I would like to acknowledge there's Council Member Tom Byrd from out there at Ever Beachside. Thank you for being smart about this one. And also Breen Haramoto. The two of them voted against this nonsense. And I would love to hear from Ms. Gabbard, Tulsi, because she's now running for Senate and probably got an open bag asking the lobbyists who went in and begged her to get this. They probably said, you know, in the way things function here. If I can vote against it, if you know, or for it, if you know, put a little something, something in the. I don't know. I shouldn't be making those claims, but where does she throw common sense and where does she place it? What's her priorities? Taxpayers first, lobbyists come second. After everybody else gets theirs, that means the taxpayer get protected, and so all the Ikaika Anderson. Mr. Chain, Ms. Kobayashi, Romy Cocholo, Nestor Garcia, and all the other guys who sit there, and all they want to do is give away the candy shop if you can give them $5,000 to take notes. So I got a call to hear it, and we'll see what we have. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hi.
Hello.
This is Megan Bannigan.
Okay.
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
It's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, honey.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, happy birthday, Megan.
Thank you so much.
So you're back there now signed up in school, I understand. And you're a local girl here, but you went to Pennsylvania to go to college?
Excuse me?
Where are you going to school now for nursing?
I'm going to Villanova University.
Okay. All righty.
Well, happy birthday, sweetheart.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Congratulations.
I have twin daughters, and my wife. So my wife and two twin daughters' birthday are all on the same day. So they're all today. So it's just easy for me. I only have one birthday to remember.
Yeah. And Megan, I know, was interested in environmental work and science, and actually work here with some of the, pet clinics or something? Or what was it, Megan?
Zoo. Honolulu Zoo. She worked for the Honolulu Zoo.
Well,
yeah.
And I used to work with diamondback terrapins. It was a project to basically a head starting program to increase the numbers on the Cape in Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we raised them when they were babies so they wouldn't get eaten or, like, run over by trucks that usually would go along the Cape. And then we released them back into the ocean.
Great.
When they were at a big enough size.
Well, I'm glad, and good to hear from you, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye, sweetheart.
Aloha.
Talk to you later.
Good to hear you.
Wish I was with you, honey.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All the way. Technology's amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear from her because it had an update. You mentioned that and the other daughter's going to college for a doctor. Where is she?
Yeah, she's at the George Washington Medical School in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So, yeah, Megan graduated from Boston College last year, spent a year home and got into Villanova, and Maureen went in right after she graduated from Penn.
Beautiful.
And now she's starting to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we lost one caller there. Call back if you'd like to. Anyway, it's always nice to hear your kids are really working hard to get out there and do good for themselves. Good morning, caller. Comment a question?
Good morning.
Good morning. Comment a question for the show?
My name is Edgar Miner. I went to most of the testimonies at the city council and at the committee meetings. And I just wanted to say that the whole process was really disappointing as a citizen and a taxpayer.
Can you give us some specifics? What were your observations, or what did you experience at first hand?
Well, it just really seemed as if the thing was decided. I mean, it took from August when the Department of Environmental Services introduced Bill 47 until the early May to get the bill passed, and it seemed like they were showing some bit of reason there. But before they passed it, they made sure that they had two other bills, Bill 36 and Bill 37, in place to replace the fees, the tipping fees, back to Schnitzer. Although it'd be a little less money, they wanted to make sure that Schnitzer knew that they were taking care of them. Is the perception that I got sitting there in the council chambers. It was really disheartening as a taxpayer to watch. It seemed like such a sham. They asked Schnitzer directly, you know, in closed session to show their books, and, you know, they just stood their ground saying, no way, we're not going to show our books. The topic that you were talking about earlier as far as the ASR coming and the automobiles coming from Outer Island, they totally ignored the entire issue. Whatever they chose to ignore, they just wouldn't talk about it. Somebody would give a testimony, there was no countering of it. It was really, that's my first experience of getting involved with something. I was so disappointed when I heard that that this was going on, that I started paying a lot of attention, and it was just, it was really disappointing.
Wow. So, what do you think about, did they just blow the whole issue or the discussion off, or let it run on their back like water on a duck's back regarding bringing ASR out of counties and bringing it here? Did they even give any serious thought to that?
Oh, no, that's just it. There was no dialogue. There was no questioning Schnitzer about it. It was never really allowed to be brought to the surface. When anybody testified, they just kind of drew little circles on their pad. They went to the bathroom. They did whatever they needed to do to ignore it. They never brought it up to Schnitzer. It was just a non-issue throughout the whole process.
I see. What about the, we're going to toss around this thing on our proof of need. Do you think they adequately addressed that? And hopefully, Jim and you...
There was another blind issue. They knew that if they put a proof of need in that, it would eliminate their favorite son, Schnitzer, out of the process. So they didn't want to even bring that up. Mm-hmm. There was never a dialogue about it. It was brought up in testimony once again, but never addressed by the counsel.
Wow.
It was almost predestined from the very beginning. All the testimony, I spent hours, and there were many other people who spent much more time than I at the Honolulu Hale. And it was you walk away. It was a waste of the time. Yeah, there was a small concessions made, and they say that I got a call from Stanley Chang saying that he thought that this was a reasonable concession, but I emailed them back saying, what's reasonable about corporate welfare? Is it like reasonable to give them less money just of our taxpayers' dollars? I don't get the reasonableness of it.
Mm-hmm. But even welfare, you at least, the people in Chicago or in the Bronx or wherever, in the ghetto or wherever, when you go down and get welfare, in the normal sense of things, scheme of things, you have to show that you have no job, right? Now, whatever you do afterwards, you have to jump through certain hoops or to show that you qualify for it, right?
Yeah, that's a frustrating.
So, we're giving the true people on welfare a bad name when, in fact, this is a corporation who we're not burdened with any of this. It's just because of a wink and whatever it is. I wasn't privileged to the information of what transpired, but maybe I think it's lobbyists rather opposed to welfare,
Well, that's just it. We're using our tax dollars to pay for their lobbyists.
Right.
To get them more money. And that's another frustrating issue. You see them all smiling, even though they lost a part of their benefit as the whole thing was going on. They were outside smiling and
mm-hmm.
talking to one another, kind of, they weren't high-fiving, but, they don't want to make it too obvious. You could tell they were pleased with the result.
Well, I do know that lobbyists were involved in this. How much they got paid? Now, I haven't met a lobbyist that would do it for free. And then I understand that Kitty Lagaretta's company was involved. So why would they need to go out and hire a public relations company when all they need to do is come in and show their books and show cause? Why would you need to hire a public relations firm? I mean, myself personally, I was receiving a number of these emails from their lobbyists, their advocates, and shamefully, they would just tell me, hey, you need to go down there and testify. It's coming up, and we need to save this. How absurd and how arrogant was that? To send me an email to tell me that they have until June 3rd. It would give a certain date. So why would they need... I just asked that basic question. Why did Schnitzer need to hire a public relations firm to deal with something as simple as this?
Well, they have their own in-house counsel and public relations operation inside. And I think that they realized that they were, that this was going to get some publicity, so they brought out the big guns, the mm-hmm. very well-known lobbyists in this state that are very effective and have relationships with all these council members were in their face on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
It was testified to the other day in open testimony at the council that several of the council members have Schnitzer memorabilia with their logo identification sitting on the desk, reminding them of the Schnitzer name every
mm-hmm.
day. They look at that as they're, going about their daily business, which is another thing that just seems inappropriate, if
mm-hmm.
nothing else.
Well, hold that thought there. Caller, I've got another caller. You have a comment, a question?
No, that's very good. Thank you.
Go ahead. Hello?
Is this for me?
Yeah, go ahead. If you got a comment or question. Hello?
maybe that gentleman will call back. But
one thing I will say, Carol, is that Mr. Miner, when he gave testimony, he got into a little hassle with council member Kobayashi, and he did a real classy thing. I guess the following meeting, the budget committee, and apologized publicly for what he said, which I thought was just very, very classy. He was very, very humble.
Good morning, caller. You got a comment or question?
Sorry, yeah, I just called. I wanted to know if we can track campaign donations from a company like this or from lobbyists like this, because I know sometimes they can funnel it through individuals in their company. Is there really any effort to track this kind of stuff on a government level?
I will say that I've been checking, but they haven't sewn up all the loose ends yet to really, even if they give a donation. You know, the way things work in this town, it may not be a donation. One of the council members' dog might get sick and need a surgery and swallow the knife, and so the company, now, this is not to say name any names of companies, but here's how it works. May not be a campaign donation, but the veterinarian gets a check in the mail for the payment of the dog's surgery that is owned by the city councilman.
Yeah.
So you got to know that. But again, they wouldn't be as dumb to go out and write it. Well, I take that back, because Clayton, he didn't report his, and I can't assume that they're bright.
Well, I asked because, you know, I had really high hopes for some of the younger council members that are in there, and I was so disappointed to see this kind of folding, because they're clearly ambitious. You don't just go to college and then straight out run for your first job as city council member of the 11th largest municipality in the country. People who do that are extremely ambitious, and if they're already making these kinds of questionable decisions that clearly do disfavor to the people, I'm just so concerned about the future of our political environment here in Hawaii.
Well, I last night the God spoke, and I think that was, now we're talking about this, maybe that's sick and tired of, because you never seen a show like that. So I think things are so badly broken here that it was just trying to shine the light on these cockroaches in government, because
something. Yeah, you might be right. I mean, the last time we had 40 nights of rain and 40 nights of, or was it 44 days and nights? It was right when Cheney came. So
right.
Maybe
but
hey, thanks for doing the show on this. Appreciate
it. Anytime. I hope people, and I appreciate you calling in, and for Mr. Miner, please don't hesitate to call back. I lost you in that I was trying to entertain both callers at the same time. But anyway, we are asking simply, they owe us more than this.
Yes,
I mean, you cannot be giving away money and then telling me you're bringing in new parking lot meters so that you can be more efficient in collecting money and raising parking lot fees down in Kapi'olani or proposing it, and then giving money away and bringing in trash from other counties and burying it for free?
Yeah. Yeah, not on our dime.
Yeah. I don't know what it takes in this town to get people riled up, but again, maybe they've trained us so well. I don't know. I don't want to be insulting, but I feel like I'm going to an obedience school or something. But anyway, all right, thank you.
Right.
But this need to show cause, that's scary. No demand for it. There should have been a document. The city council should have, at minimum, broached the subject and had a public document.
Yeah, it seemed like every time that issue was brought up, as I guess Mr. Miner referenced, it was kind of blown off. Nobody, you know, took it seriously, which is incredibly stupid. And the reason is, like, I mean, you just said that even when you're on welfare, you have to prove that, A, you're going looking for a job, you're doing something to try to get off it.
Yeah.
And it's not happening with this particular bill. If back in 2001, when Bill 90 CD1 was brought up, there was a proof of need language that the city and county, after 3 years in 2004, would come in and review our books Hawaii Metal Recycling at the time. Right. Little did we know we were going to be bought out, but mm-hmm. bottom line was that the city wanted to come in and review the books again
mm-hmm.
and then see whether or not the discount was justified. But in 2004, that language suddenly disappeared, which at the time when I was running a company, it was fine by me. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you really don't want government to come in and start nosing in your books. But everyone that testified in opposition to 36 and 37 and in support of 47 all said that there should be some sort of proof language in the bills. And
right.
for whatever reason, it's not there. And that's just, and Mayor Carlisle ought to do the right thing and say, you know, no on this bill, veto
right.
the bill, and say you need to have proof that 3 years or 2 years or a year from now, when if you actually need it, or just leave it open and say you need to show that you actually need government assistance, and then we'll take it from there. But
mm-hmm.
it's kind of irrational to allow any company just to walk in and say, hey, you know, I'm doing this for the community, so give me that. You know,
yeah.
that's the.
I'm not angered, but I'm a little confused in that I showed them in the last month $2 million squandered in purchasing trucks that don't work, fraud and overtime, and our trash pickups. We can't pick up trash in a timely fashion because the Middle Street Yard, and I've written an article on this at carolcox.com, where last week, and I want to be careful how I come across saying this because I think everybody should be respected, but last week I get a call that there are at least nine garbage trucks, automated pickup trucks, there at the Mililani Mortuary, or the cemetery or memorial park. Now, why would nine trash trucks be there? Well, they were there, I'm told, to pay respect to a retired city worker's wife who had passed. Meantime, their trash was still sitting, their routes were still waiting to be picked up. Now, how is it that we can afford? Now, I'm not objecting to them paying respect, but take your own private car, drive up there as a group, sign off the clock, go up there and pay your respect. But just to add insult to injury, for what it's worth, and probably nobody will, I hope nobody come to my funeral. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have one, but just in case you do, folks, and you think I've been a good guy, please don't drive any trash trucks into the cemetery. please, whatever you do, I would rather just go out the back door, throw me out with the trash. Don't bring garbage trucks into the cemetery or the memorial park to pay respect to me. This is the mindset from top to bottom. How did they manage to do that? There's a supervisor involved.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Just like in the concrete issue that you broke.
Yeah, and they're dumping cement in there. And where's the city council on that?
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, they're all over this when they come to a discount for a big company.
Right.
Something's wrong here. And Ms. Kobayashi, I'm calling out to you to please, I respect you and want to continue that. But you got to give a little bit of this one. And I don't mean give to the other side. You got to just give to what's right. I expect all of you to write a letter and tell the mayor, encourage the mayor to just veto this, even though you voted for it. Because there is nothing in this bill that requires them to allow them to check later. They didn't have to show cause.
Exactly. No. And
I mean, it's okay. Maybe they had a gun held to their head and said, well, you know, I got some dirt on you. I'm going to expose you. They should have at least written and say, well, once every 9 months, you have to come back and at least something. But no checks, no balance.
What's disappointing is that allegedly, all the people on the council are pretty smart people, and you would think that that would be the first thing. They have a fiduciary responsibility to protect the city and county's money,
mm-hmm.
and that, in my mind, is the first and foremost. Show proof.
Mm-hmm.
At least put it in the bill. show proof that you need this, and then, mm-hmm. then we'll talk about whether or not we can help you and how we can help you.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't even happen, you know. So which is it? Then I really can't blame people for being disappointed.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, you know, we all take time out from our jobs and our responsibilities to go down and spend hours and testify. I know Mr. Miner was down there most of the time testifying, mm-hmm. and other people have been testifying in support. Or in opposition to this bill, or any of the bills, and the people in opposition, I get disappointed yeah. because they're just blown off. You know?
Yeah, and it continued the vein of what I was talking about earlier about the cemetery and the lack of control and oversight and the waste of money. Well, to add insult to injury, at the Middle Street yard, right there at Middle Street, now that one district was a route district or sector covered from Middle Street all the way to Punch Bowl. Well, the day after Memorial Day, you know, there's a lot of trash generated, people celebrating. Well, the people in those communities had to wait to have their trash picked up a day late. Okay, why? Because the Middle Street yard had 9 drivers just sitting around doing nothing all day because their trucks are broken. And they sent out 9 trucks that were working. So they went out and picked up their loads, and then some of them came back and went and drove the routes that didn't have working trucks and got overtime. So we paid them to do their job. We paid them to do overtime, while we also paid the other 9 workers to sit around doing nothing. But you would think I'd have the city council calling up. We need to hear about that. Get in more information. We need to take care of it. But they're nowhere to be found. So, but a lobbyist can walk and probably don't, they probably, I think the way the city council here works, they call the council or they call the lobbyist to say, you got anything you need anybody to do for you today? That's where I believe it, because the trash in the river, the cement in the river, not a single soul called me. Catching a city worker ripping off the city and overtime and scrapping metal on time, and the corporation, the ethics commission confirmed it and said he owes money back. Hanneman gave his job back. Where's the city council? Where's the outrage? You know, I don't believe it has to do anything with just their inept. I believe it spells corruption, and like the caller pointed out, you go to college, you go get your degree, you get a bar on your shoulder in the military, and then you say, I'm ready. And you find your way through the back door to get into the city council. And in just a few weeks, well, more than a few weeks, you declare you're going to run for Senate. Now, that sounds more like a spoiled brat than anything that wants to do anything about our government affairs and the well-being of the people. That sounds like me, me, me. Or maybe they have an eye problem. I can do it. But what are you doing? You're not available. Gabbard has never come out publicly to speak about this. But boy, when the medical waves floated down at the beach, man, she was out there as if, you know, like a duck on a June bug. You know? Oh, I'm here to, and I'm saying to myself, what is she going to run for? Well, now we know.
Well, I think that's the point. Everyone has a view for a higher office so that they do what's, you know, politically right. They put the finger up and say, okay, which way is the wind blowing? This mm-hmm. is how I'm going to, you know, rather than speak from conviction.
Well, I would say, and I know Tom Berg is, you know, some people say he's out there, but how did he get this one right and everybody else got it wrong?
Now, him and
Breen Haramoto.
I mean, Haramoto, I attended a couple and I watched online, and mm-hmm. Haramoto had it right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? He understood what was going on, and I applaud him for his courage and voting his conviction. And that's what they're in office to
mm-hmm.
do, vote for what the people that they represent would probably want.
I look at Stanley Chang, and I think back now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's who DeJoux recommended, that said it was a good guy for this. Breen, I think, came up through in voting and hustling and getting out there. But when lobbyists, and I'm going to call it what it is, I wrote testimony. They never responded to me. Right? And I know trash, like, that's all I do is talk trash. I've been accused of. That's all I do is talk trash. So where is the city council at in contacting me? What do I think? You know, so something is really wrong, and changing the subject with this profitability. What about that? Who profits from this overall? Do we?
No, quite the contrary. You know, quite the contrary, sorry.
And so we're up there now, and as I said earlier, here's what I'm really scared of, that someone's going to get this bright idea planted in their head. And it's already been floated out there that we should, instead of using, and this sounds absurd, but because they will go out of their way to give money to big companies or lobbyists for a little change for elections, instead of giving a discount, they'll say, well, just bring it on up here and we'll get the state to allow us to use that ASR as daily cover. Say, what do you mean daily cover? Well, you're supposed to use dirt or some natural or earthen product or whatever. Well, no, I believe the way the city council operate, as corrupt as they are and as easy as they are to be influenced, not by the right people, but by the people that pay their salaries and who they claim they're going to work for, is that we might end up seeing another snaky way of circumventing common sense and the respect of the people and say, we'll use this ASR for daily cover.
Alternate daily cover, ADC.
Yeah.
And what, for the general public, what that means is that in lieu of using dirt or earth or soil, and they sort of cover up the layer of MSW that's dumped in the landfill, they'll use ASR as the alternate to that. So it's an alternate daily cover issue. And what that does is that gets you around, if it gets certified, which I think, I'm pretty sure the company is working on this, it gets them around this issue on dumping into the landfill.
Caller, good morning. Comment or question?
Oh, hi. Yeah, this is Edgar Miner calling back. I had gotten out of my car. Now had a tough time getting back on the radio.
All righty. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off there, but it happens that way sometimes when me a technical task.
No problem. I just one of the things that I learned through this process is that this ASR, the stuff that comes out of the automobiles, has a great value in other areas. When it's sent to China, it is used as a recyclable. It has a lot of energy use in it, but it also has other things that need to be taken out before it can be burned.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a high BTU value, or whatever they call that. I'm just a layperson, so I don't really know the ins and outs of this, but sitting there and listening, it's not brain surgery. These people don't need a high level of intelligence to make the right choice. I think they are all very bright, and so that leads me to believe that there's something else behind the scenes going on that makes them vote counter to what's best for the taxpayer. So I don't know what that would be, but it just doesn't make sense just sitting there and learning about it as they were learning about it. It's just confounding.
Well, I invited Mr. Chang on. I actually spoke to him at length on this, and he still believed it was a great idea. And I couldn't get past what part of it was a great idea for, and who was it a great idea for? From Maui County to be able to ship all of their ASR here to Honolulu and have it buried for free? Or Kauai to bury it for free? Or Big Island? So I don't know what part of that is a good idea. Maybe you guys can chime in. Is it a good idea?
No, it's not a good idea.
I'm being facetious, but...
this early in his career as a city councilman, you would think that he would be able to vote his conscience if anybody could. And yet, here, whatever goes on behind closed doors in that council area, and, you know, they need each other's support on different bills. From what I sent out an email after the vote to a couple hundred people, one that I had sent to the council members, and I did get some response to it. And I was told that, don't get so upset, Edgar. It's not unusual for them to have their vote in their pocket before the testimony. you know, because I went there on Friday not feeling well and thought that I could make a difference. I spent that last weekend, Memorial Day, going over the videos to make sure that I wasn't kind of being blindsided, that I had missed something that was in testimony that I maybe should support this. But, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at these videos, convinced that, you know, that these bills are not in our best behalf. And I went ahead and went in there and made my testimony. And, you know, it seemed pretty obvious from the lack of any dialogue with anyone that testified that they had pretty much made up their minds.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the city council and a great many of the legislators here, other legislators, I would say don't ever, me personally, I don't dignify them anymore by going in and presenting anything. I might write a bit, but the reality is that they've already been bought and sold. And their business, they have doctors, PhDs in horse trading. I'll give you a Palomino for a quarter horse. That's already done. You and I march in, and we think we're going to introduce logic and the sense to this whole process. And to be honest with you, when you look, you go in and make a presentation. If they want to hear what they want to hear, they'll ask you a question. One of the council may be asleep, and then they'll reach over and go, oh, well, by the way, you know, and so you get to just go on and talk on if you're supporting their nonsense. But if you're coming in there with logic and reason, you're going to be pushed out quickly. You've got 1 minute. You follow that?
Yeah.
So it's corrupt, and that's, I wish I could say and describe it better, and I've say hi to them all and smiled, but Honolulu is probably one of the most corrupt places because they're already predisposed, already, and they come in, some of them don't even bother to come in and listen anymore. They are out, and then they come in just when it's time to vote.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, I'm not spoiled on testifying. I'm not spoiled in participating.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, what I would say, quite the contrary, one of the problems is, or one of the issues is that there are so few people willing to pay attention to not only this issue, but other issues that are brought to the floor. And, you know, we're counting on our council members to represent us. And so, in so doing, we kind of give up our vote to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not paying attention, you're counting on them making the right decision, and you don't even realize they haven't, well, right in my eyes. You know, of course, they have their own reckoning. But what it takes is people showing up in mass. One of the other issues that were brought to the floor for a vote on Friday was this parking meter issue over, well, it actually affects all of the parks. And there was a bill brought to the floor to increase the parking meters. Well, there was a major outcry, especially around Kapi'olani. But it affected all the parks, and it changed it from certain hours to 24 hours. And, you know, there was some outrage. So they kind of put their hands over the head and said, hey, you know, this is a hot potato. Let's put this back and re-look at this because it affected so many people. And what we really need to do is we need more participation rather than less. This is a government that should be by us and for us, but we have to hold them accountable. We have to be responsible to make our voices heard, and more than just going to the ballot box, which, of course, that's kind of another story as far as the disappointment that we see in the numbers showing up there also.
Right. Well,
the whole issue that what we need to do is that we need participation. We need Americans to stand up for America and for what they believe in, whatever it is. If they want Schnitzer to get this benefit, come there and end up and vote for him or testify for him. But if they don't, they need to show up in mass and say that we're paying attention, we're watching you on Olero, and send emails or voicemails, and participation is what really is going to salvage this.
Yeah, we encourage that here and greater participation, but we also must be realistic and acknowledge trickery that exists. The reason you don't see masses, and I'm not to say 100% this would be an explanation, but I would say if you look, pay attention to how the scheduling of these matters are heard, number one. Sometimes who can afford to go in at 8 in the morning and wait until 6 at night for this matter to be pushed back in here, number one. By design, that's done. The placement of the issue on the calendar. Then the cost of parking. You see, and the availability of parking. By design, you're stripped and ripped of the right to participate just by design. So unless they were to graze the whole area, make it a public parking, I think this may be the solution. A parking area that is free, situated immediately next to the place where these matters are heard, no obstruction, then we might see greater participation. And scheduling, you know, the way they think. I've seen them come in and have a presenter to make a presentation, and you think, what does it have to do with anything? It's stalling to make sure it wears the people that are interested, wear them down. So,
and they defer it instead of talk about it. They will defer it. There's all kinds of tactics that they use, I believe, to soften the blow.
Right.
There's not as many people there. But, you know, with this new social media, you know, I guess as you were speaking, I was just thinking maybe there's some way that in years to come, months or years or decades, whatever, at some point in time where the involvement could be involved, I mean, we could all be involved through a social media application. I'm an old guy, so I'm not really up to speed on how all that works.
You sound like you're 19.
Yeah. Turning 63 in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just hopeful that we can get people to participate in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Salvage our nation, our state, our local and city and county government.
Mm-hmm.
To be responsible to what we as a whole want.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you notice, when they want you to participate, for example, this recent poll that was conducted by the city on rail, some $200,000+ was used. Why not set up a public media that would allow you to participate from your home? Why not explore that? Why not do a research on that? But you don't see that kind of effort. So if I exclude you by methods and strategies, then you're able to stand there and talk about, we just spent $240,000 to ask 900 people questions, right?
Yeah.
Or we have a governor who says, I'm not going to tell you who the judges that I'm nominating, man. Are you out of your mind? You know, that kind of stuff. That's just downright right, fraudulent and disrespectful. How do we navigate that?
You know? I think you navigate that, the ballot box. And I think, you know, every council member, when they come up for re-election, ought to be asked the tough questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And council member Gabbard runs. Why did she vote? Why did she vote in support of Bill 36 when within the mayor's own budget and department, there were, you know, departments that were decimated.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that money could have been used for, instead of giving a benefit to a company, you know, used to fund.
I slide and spam and stone, so it's a family affair.
There you go.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to suggest that some of the callers, like the guy Edgar,
mm-hmm,
who just called in, that go down there and do, you know, do the due diligence and watch the council. And he said there were many others that had put in even more time than he had. You know, it's a shame to have wasted all that time. Well, I don't know if it's wasted or not, but to have put all that time in and not get more bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to suggest is that maybe him and some of the other people that are, you know, down there putting in the time, form some kind of a citizens' watch organization and document this stuff and write down what the, you know, what city council people listened to stuff, what city council people were out of the room, what, you know, what kind of dirty tricks they play,
mm-hmm.
who scheduled these things for hard times to get to and stuff, and have this documented and then maybe write up a brief summary of these different events, and then would and write down which city councilman voted for what, and then when the election times comes up, they can bring up these various cases and the summaries and show who voted for what and what the, you know, the situation was, so that these things could be documented and brought out and seen by a lot more people.
Right.
Because there's just a few people down there and nobody sees it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. And Mr. Miner, that what you're saying is true, and but again, shouldn't we just simply should be able to depend and rely on honesty in these people that look us into the eye and tell us, I can do the job for you, I have your interests at best hand, I work for you. They know how to say those things, so shouldn't it be that simple? Because, or just don't vote them in, just tell them to go away.
But you mentioned before that they all have PhDs in horse trading, and that's really what it's all about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of horse trading going on with these bills. No question.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is an online newspaper, the Civil Beat, that does a good job of covering some of these issues, and when they have time and they're there, they do report, you know, they try to be fair, but report as accurate as possible what happened in these committee meetings and also on the floor of the full city council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss LaFrance, I think is her name, does a really good job on that. She does the Honolulu, you know, Honolulu Holly, and mm-hmm. it's civilbeat.com, so if anybody wants to pull up anything on that, you can certainly go to the web and pull it up and get the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, what are the answers? Who knows, but I can tell you... In this town, this reminds me of the people that come knock on my door every Saturday, every other Saturday, and hand me a watchtower. And I've already told them, like 20 years ago, not interested, right? So I guess that's where the politicians go and learn. They're just bullheaded and, boom, Mr. Cox, we're here to tell you that the world is going to end. I'm not interested. You know, and the same thing, when I call the legislators or the city council and talk to them, they're not interested.
Isn't the world going to end in October now?
Yeah, October.
Yeah.
But,
Mr. Cox, before I go, I want to say thank you for bringing this issue onto the radio. I want to thank Jim Bannigan for his participation as the city council. And I just want to encourage everyone to pay attention when you see issues like this coming
mm-hmm.
up, and allow your voices to be heard.
Well, we'll keep doing it, and don't hesitate to call back if you want to chime in on other things, because I'm stressed. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. You know, it's funny, they'll go to prison and interview a guy that committed murder to get the next information on the next guy to prosecute him, but as a free citizen, you and I can't be heard.
Yeah, and
they brush us off, so.
I just said before
I got
okay. Thank you.
Before you go, Mr. Miner, I just wanted to thank you for what you did. And that was a pretty classy thing to come in and apologize to Councilmember Kobayashi. Although I didn't think your testimony was out of line, but nonetheless, you did a real classy thing on that.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question, real quick.
Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation there, and I just looked online, and Stanley Chang has left town. He's gone over to China for a couple of weeks with the mayor. So it's not surprising that after his already worst decision, hopefully, in his career, he skipped town.
Well, I'm hoping everybody out there that supported him, give him another look over, because we've just probably given birth to a new critter of a politician. So anyway, thank you, and appreciate you calling in.
Sure. Bye.
Well, Mr. Bannigan, thank you for joining me, and I really appreciate all your help and what you've done over the years. And again, if there's anybody that will shout out and say, you know, and I feel like I've slighted you in a sense, because it wasn't about us, but I should have been yelling out what you've been doing over the years, and I'd still look at that Eva Beach site over there, that right next to Chevron, where it's absolutely, it's still spick and span.
That's great.
And it was a hellhole. If the people saw the chemicals, the cars, or what have you, and it didn't cost me anything, and I'm the one that stood on TV and looked good, and everybody walks up to me now and go, oh, thank you, environmental man. So I'm going to say thank you, and then I owe it to you.
And thank you for what you do.
All righty. But anyway, folks, I appreciate you all joining, and it was really a... I hope you understand, this is a, it's an old issue, but look at all of the things that are involved. It's the same behavior. Old issues bring on old behaviors and give us an opportunity to see how things work rather than just pointing fingers and naming names. So again, thank you, and I'll see you next week. CarolCox.com, CarolCox.com.
I wonder why that old southbound train don't run. Hey, yes, I wonder why that old southbound train don't run. Well, you know you don't need no telling, little girl, you know just what you done. I am a high-drinking man. Well, you know I work so hard, but I catch the devil everywhere I go. Well, you know I get back down in lowland. Well, yes, I won't have to work no more. They only like rocks on 61, baby.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.